Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 brings you Dominican Dimensions, a half hour of lively discussion about Catholic issues from a Dominican perspective, featuring the friars from St. Patrick Church in Columbus. And now, Dominican Dimensions.
Welcome to the Dominican Dimension, a half hour of lively discussion about Catholic issues from a Dominican perspective. My name is Father Boniface Endorf, and I'm a friar at St. Patrick's Parish here in Columbus, and I'm joined in the studio today with my fellow friars, Father Jerome Zeiler and Father Stephen Alcott. Let us start in prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Today we're going to talk about a topic that comes up a lot with many Catholics, and it's evangelization. Specifically, we all have members of our family who don't practice the faith or are of a different faith, or friends that don't practice the faith as well, and we all wonder, well, how can we bring them to know Jesus Christ more and more? How can we evangelize our friends and family? And so that's our topic today, strategies, tips, how to go about spreading the gospel among those people God has put into our lives. Now, Father Stephen, I know you have a lot to say about this. So since you're our master evangelist here today, share some wisdom with our audience, please.
I think it's great to start by listening, follow that principle, seek first to understand before being understood, to listen to that person, to find out what is deeply important to this person. And even more so, just ask them about their history. How did they come to believe what they do, or how did they come to disbelieve what they disbelieve? What is, I like to say, the furniture of their soul? You know, where do they live? What are the principles or values or goals or fears that they have in their life? And really get to know that and listen in a way that's not just waiting to say something or to respond to something that they say or debate with something they say, but just to really understand them, to really know them. Because listening creates trust, and it's part of charity to really want to know another person as a person, because people are persons, not arguments or not simply sparring partners in a debate. And I think that takes it out of the debate mode. In a debate, there's a winner and a loser, and guess what? No one likes to lose. So even if we feel like we're being out-argued, we just look for more ammunition, or we start using ad hominem or complain about things or red herrings. So it's better just to keep it out of debate mode if we can and to listen, and then hopefully they'll be willing to listen to us. And we just tell our history, not that we're perfect, not that we're saints already, but that this is what's important to me. This is how I've come to believe. This is what I still struggle with, and this is what my hopes, what my goals, what my fears, this is where the furniture of my soul is. You know, I use that analogy. If I go to someone's house and I say, like, well, I like that new chair you have, but I think it would look better by the window, and I just start dragging it over to the window. I mean, that's going to be kind of like violating someone's home. You know, you just don't do that. But if I invite them over to my house and I say, hey, I got this new chair. It looks great over there, doesn't it? Oh, yeah, that's a good idea. Then they might come back home and, you know, maybe my chair might look good there too. You know, that's very different than like kind of trying to drag someone else's furniture around. It's like you look at where their furniture is. You talk about where your furniture is and maybe they'll get an idea.
I like the point about the starting where they're at. I mean, if you think about Jesus and the parable of the lost sheep, Jesus wanted to bring that lost sheep back to the fold. He had a goal of where he wanted that sheep to be. But the first thing he had to do was know where the sheep was. If he couldn't find the sheep, he wouldn't be bringing him back anywhere. And so it's the same for us in evangelization, that we first have to know where the person is if we're going to have any hope of leading them somewhere. And then when we do come to lead them, it's a matter of showing them the way before them. It's not arguing. I mean, think of it. On the TV news, you'll see all sorts of arguments among the talking heads. And I have yet to see anyone say at the end of one of these arguments, oh, you're right, I changed my mind. I've never seen that happen.
Me neither.
And so it's really a matter of coming to know the person and then the person caring about you and wanting to hear what you have to say and then leading that person. So it's not a matter of a crushing defeat in an argument that's going to move the sheep back to the fold. It's a matter of seeing your trust and concern and a desire for that person to want to join that fold. That's how it always happens, because it's not just a matter of argument. Now, this is not to say that apologetics are unimportant, because someone might have a real intellectual concern, and then an argument can be helpful, an argument that you give a syllogism or whatnot. But that's a different situation, because you're not trying to defeat a person's opinion and then get him to change his mind. Instead, someone asks you, help me to understand this, and you have the ability to explain the answer to that person's question. So it's a very different sort of thing in which arguments are useful, and they're not useful as like a battering ram to break down the defenses of those around you.
Yeah, and I think that a good way to think of it is like removing obstacles. Like if someone wants to understand, what do you mean by, you know, by that when you receive communion, that's the body and blood of Christ? What do you mean? You know, you're not arguing about it. You're just saying, well, this is, I'm explaining this. You know, it sounds mm-hmm. like cannibalism, maybe like it did to the people in the first century at first, but I'm removing this obstacle. This is what we mean by this. It is Christ's body and blood, but yet we receive it in a way that's not, chewing on, well, that's all. Maybe I shouldn't get into that right now. But anyway,
that's another radio show.
Yeah, that's another radio show. But just removing the obstacles that people have, rather than, yeah, like you said, Father Boniface, trying to batter down, you know, their defenses.
Father Jerome, what advice do you have for evangelizing family and friends?
Well, first, yeah, I just really want to second that. One of the first things I did in coming to better understand my faith and everything is I read these books on apologetics, you know, and I was like, this is awesome. I'm just going to go convert everyone with this. And so I did. I'd look for, you know, people to debate with about that at school. And if I found someone who wasn't Catholic or and then at work. And it never, I mean, coming from that for that mindset, it never, I never really converted someone using those tactics, you know. but, I mean, one thing that just I marveled at when I taught RCIA was, you know, I'd always ask people how they came into the RCIA. You know, that's where that's the program you take to learn more about the faith, and if you want to become Catholic and receive the sacraments of initiation. I always ask them how they came. 9 times out of 10, you know, more than 9 times out of 10, there was a friend or family member who was just like a living witness, and they established trust. They trusted that person, and they were like inspired by that person, and they became curious. Trust and curiosity are the two initial things. And then, but once you're in the RCIA, all these things about like everything that apologetics is useful for, every objection they might have, they just fall like dominoes. I mean, it just amazed me how people may have misconceptions and stuff. But once, you know, when they're led by grace and, you know, they desire it for themselves, you know, all their objections and everything are just, mm-hmm. they easily fall away, but it never happens as a product of debate.
I saw the bishop do this, the Bishop of Columbus, at the rite of election, where you have everyone that's going to enter the church that following Easter. So the rite of election is in the fall. And so the people preparing to enter church, people in RCIA programs around the diocese are all together. And the bishop asked them, he said, how many of you are here because you read a book and it convinced you of Catholicism? And there's some people that raise their hand.
Yeah.
And then he said, how many of you are here because you knew a Catholic and that Catholic brought you into the church? And then about 90% of the people raised their
hands. That's right. It's about 9 out of 10.
Yeah.
Yeah. One thing I just wanted to say, though, I mean, when it comes to evangelization, I mean, it's easy to like to evangelize friends and everything. Sometimes they raise questions. You don't know the answer. You can go and find the answer. But if the thing about it is just being intentional about it, that's that we all are called to evangelize and to really have that intention. And then I'd say also to pray for them, mm-hmm. to pray for the people you work with. Pray that an opportunity will come up. And it does. I mean, it works because God wants that. I mean, he'll providentially arrange it. But that's the most important thing, I think, just to be intentional about it and pray for it, the opportunity to come up.
You're listening to the Dominican Dimension, a half hour of lively discussion about Catholic issues from a Dominican perspective. My name is Father Boniface Endorf, and I'm a friar at St. Patrick's Parish in Columbus. And I'm joined in the studio today with two of my fellow friars, Father Jerome Zeiler and Father Stephen Alcott. We've been discussing how to evangelize your family and friends, those people God has put into your life. And one of the big themes so far was that simply debating people doesn't work. It's being an example of someone who loves those people in our life that really changes people. And that makes sense because we trust those who love us. We tend not to trust those who don't show a concern, or their concern appears merely ideological or in some way not a matter of their care for us. We trust people who love us. Another thing besides the avoiding debate, another thing I see people try, but almost entirely unsuccessfully, is when you nag people. You see this sometimes with spouses, that one of them becomes more devout, taking his faith more seriously, and one spouse nags the other to practice the faith. I've heard lots of people admit to doing this, but I have yet to find one where it was a successful strategy for helping their spouse take their faith more seriously. So nagging falls into that debate category where it doesn't really show a concern or respect for the dignity of the other person, and therefore fails as an evangelization technique. It's really being there with the other person, loving the person, that can bring that person back to Christ. It's not a matter of nagging or debating. And that's one side of the golden mean. And what I mean by that is there's a golden mean for evangelization where you don't want to fall into a aggressive attitude of debating or nagging. But in our reality, when we're living with family and friends who aren't practicing the faith or aren't even of the faith, you have the other end that you don't want to also cooperate in some of the things they do that's against the faith. You want to be a witness to them of what the faith teaches. So you got to run that fine line of being there with them, but also being strong in your own Catholic faith so that you can be a witness, that you can show the difference it makes to have a friendship with Jesus Christ. And so you want to straddle that line of, I don't do things that are perhaps sinful or wrong. I'm an example of a higher way. So like but not in a way that's holier than thou or nagging or debate. And that's always a difficult line. It takes the help of the Holy Spirit to do that. But it is really something we're called to do in evangelization. So like a small example, like, in our culture, there's a lot of people engage in gossip. That could be a good witness to not engage in gossip and saying evil things about other people. It can be a witness to your faith that you're not going to take part in that. And other small things like that, by living to a higher standard because of who you are as a Catholic, it can help shed light on what we're all called to be and draw hearts towards you. Father Stephen?
Yeah, I agree. One thing I think is that, and you see this in people that have recently come into the church or who are coming into the church. I think you were just telling me, Father Boniface, that an RCIA candidate invited, like, she wasn't even in the church yet, but she invited like three of her friends to Mass, you know, and they came, you know, and there's something about, you know, she wasn't nagging them, I'm sure, you know, but she said, you know, this is great. I'm so excited about this. You know, it'd be great if you want to come along with me, you know, wouldn't you just come with me to Mass, you know? And I think it's that rather than nagging someone, that's kind of a negative thing. But just if you have it yourself, this really interest, this excitement, and it doesn't have to be like off the charts enthusiasm. Not all of us have that temperament, you know, but if we're just interested, then that can be helpful. And I think I heard a talk one time from a campus minister in my previous assignment that everyone really knows how to evangelize already. You know, everyone evangelizes something. The word evangelize means, you know, basically the evangelion, you know, the good message, the good news. You know, people evangelize the favorite movie that they saw. They loved, you know, this movie. Or Lord of the Rings fans, you know, they'll if you give them 15 seconds, you know, they'll tell you all of the glories of Middle Earth, you know, and why you should know more about it. You know, people evangelize their favorite restaurant, their favorite ice cream, even a fountain pen, you know. So there's always something that you really are excited about it. You love it. You think more people should know about it. And so you, given like a half an inch, you'll take a mile, you know, and tell them about it in a good way, but not in a nagging way. So I think if we have that excitement about something and then we just let someone know, but not nag them, but just leave the door open, say, hey, I'm really excited about this. If you'd like to come, hey, the door's open. I just want to let you know about that.
And that's really how it works. It's that natural way that we talk about what makes us excited, what we care about, what we love, that draws other people. That's why sellers of things are so keen on having good reviews on the online merchants, because if you get lots of 5-star reviews, people start to think, wow, maybe there's something good about this if so many people like it. It's the same with everything. And I think in particular, what really helps people to start to take the faith seriously, to see that maybe this is something I should consider, is when they see the effect that Christianity, that Catholicism has had in our lives, by seeing a peace, a joy, a happiness, our ability to really be transformed, to be more like Christ. When they see that in our lives, they'll say, wow, something's changed with him. Mm-hmm. What is that? I want that. And I'll get people in RCIA and they'll say that's their specific reason. They knew someone that was had such a deep inner peace or such a great moral strength. And they say, I want to be like that person. And they ask that person, and they sometimes very explicitly, how are you the way you are? And they'll say, because of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And you can be that way too, if you come to know him. And so that's really always what we're doing as evangelists. It's not about us. It's about introducing someone else to a friend we have, Jesus Christ, and allowing that person to also be friends with Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. So it's really introducing someone and making Jesus Christ a mutual friend.
Yeah, and it happens. It happens naturally. It's going to happen automatically if we really live our faith. Some of the joy and peace, you know, sometimes we really experience that profoundly. Other times we don't. I mean, mm-hmm. But so when people see that, it is really attractive when there's evidence of that, and that inspires the curiosity. The thing is trust and curiosity. That's what really, you know, gets people, you know, those are two of the first things. But another thing is just acts of love. Like, I mean, when people see real charity towards them or towards others, that's attractive. And yes, that's exactly, it's a living witness where the person says, I want what this person has, or I want to be like this person. That's how evangelization works. One little thing, though, about being intentional. Again, it'll happen naturally if we really live our faith. People will come and ask us questions, you know. But One thing you can do to, in an intentional way, is always be reading about the faith. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like maybe intentionally put out there some conversation starters, you know, mm-hmm. like, for example, you could read a good book and like have it on your desk, like at the workplace or, you know, mm-hmm. often on planes, you know, now I wear clerics, so people that are, if they want to talk, there's already a conversation started by what I'm wearing. But like you could have a book several times, like on planes, I'd just be reading a book and someone would look and say, oh, what's that? And it starts a whole conversation. Mm-hmm. So,
well, another thing to remember that's important is that the primary person that brings about another's conversion or deepening of the faith is God. It's the Holy Spirit. It's not us. And so that takes some of the pressure off. If, you know, we all have loved ones we wish took their faith seriously or would become a Christian, it's not on us to convert the world. We're an instrument that God will use, but we need to trust in God's plan. And that's important because sometimes we can get very frustrated and feel that our prayers for that person aren't being answered. God answers them in his own time. In fact, I had someone who came to speak to me, and he was starting to really take his faith very seriously. And I asked about that because for many decades he hadn't. Well, he told me the story that his mother, who always wanted him to be faithful, but he never went to Mass or really took his faith seriously. Well, she passed away, and when one of the things he received of hers after she passed away was her rosary. And for years, that rosary sat in a drawer in his house. And one day, he came across it, and he said, I should pray this rosary. And so he started to pray it as best as he could remember the rosary was said. And within a pretty short period of time, he was starting to go to Mass every day. His mother's rosary played a role and him coming back into the faith and becoming a serious Catholic again. She never saw that. It's from her rosary that he received after she passed away. So her prayers were answered, but just as Jesus tells us, what those who sow won't always reap. She did the sowing, but she was not there to see the reaping. And so trusting God and his providence, he'll work in all sorts of ways for those loved ones we pray for. One final thing is that what do you do more specifically when somebody starts to be interested? You can ask that person to pray with you or to go to Mass or to go to a Bible study. These are good ways that are simple, discreet things you can ask them to do when they start to become interested in the faith but aren't quite ready to go all the way and maybe enter RCIA. That's ultimately, for someone who's not Catholic, the goal is to get that person into RCIA, which means the Rite of Christian Initiation for adults. And that's where they can formally learn about the faith and then prepare themselves to enter the church. If they're already Catholic but haven't been practicing, confession, you know, that's really where you want to get that person is back in the confessional to repair their relationship with Jesus Christ and the church, and then to start walking their faith again. Any final advice in this last minute?
I think it's, as Father Jerome was saying earlier, yeah, this may seem obvious, but just to deepen our own faith, you know, mm-hmm. if our faith is kind of, you know, if we're not doing a whole lot in our prayer or our, you know, coming to love Christ, then, you know, it's going to be hard to have that, you know, that great thing to share. But if we have read a good book, if we do try to read, we could say, hey, you know, I'm reading this great book. You know, I think you might be interested in that. And if we deepen our life of prayer to Christ, if we deepen our love for him, then that's going to show, because after all, it is Christ who's the real evangelist. He's the one that brings about that grace. I just have time for one story. I knew of a Dominican priest who his father was always kind of a nothing, didn't believe in anything, and this priest, when he was a young man, thought to himself, well, if I kind of deepen in my faith, well, he wasn't the primary reason, but maybe my dad someday will become Catholic. He ended up joining the Dominican order. Father didn't become Catholic. You know, he made his solemn vows. Father didn't become Catholic. Was ordained to the priesthood. Father didn't become Catholic. You know, it was many years a priest, you know, and finally his father was getting older, and And this priest, you know, was always kind of praying for his dad, and then he started praying to St. Jude. You know, there's a St. Jude shrine right near his confessional. It would annoy him because all the coins are clanking in the coin box while he's trying to hear confessions. He said, well, I'll pray to St. Jude for this person. And one day, out of the blue, his mom calls him and says, son, I hope I did the right thing. And he said, what was that, Mom? He says, I just baptized your father. And he said, what? And she said, well, you know, he was having, luckily he's starting to have a heart attack, but he was still conscious. So as the emergency squad was on its way, something made me think, hey, you know, you may not have much time left. You know, would you like to become a Catholic? And he said, yes, I think I would. So she baptized him right then and there. And he lived for another year, but it just goes to show that sometimes it's God who brings about those. It's God who brings about those moments, but our own desire and prayer and deepening of our faith is certainly not going to hurt.
Thank you for joining us today for the Dominican Dimension. My name is Father Boniface Endorf, and I'm a friar at St. Patrick's Parish here in Columbus, and I'm joined in the studio today with my fellow friars, Father Jerome Zeiler and Father Stephen Alcott. Now let us end in prayer. O light of the Church,
teacher of truth, rose of patience, ivory of chastity, freely you have poured forth the waters of wisdom. Preacher of grace, unite us with the blessed. Amen.
Dominican Dimensions is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820. Archives of Dominican Dimensions and all of our locally produced programs are available at stgabrielradio.com. Veni, Sancte Spiritus, Veni per Maria.
Dominicans proudly wear Our Lady's Rosary on their belts. The Rosary is a gospel prayer which draws us into the mystery of God and His Son, Jesus Christ. With over 135 friars in formation for the four U.S. provinces, the Dominicans are one of the fastest-growing men's religious orders in this country. This is Father Benedict Kroll from the Dominican House of Studies in Washington, D.C. Consider making a vocation weekend. Google Dominican Friars to learn more.